contact, call. Amen? We got to stay in contact. All right, take your Bibles. I want you to turn to the book of Romans chapter 7 first. We're going to go to Romans chapter 7, chapter 8, Galatians chapter 5, chapter 6, 1 John chapter 2. Okay, and then a few other passages. But I had this thought about, and I want to talk about, when I talk about walking in the Spirit, I've titled my message, The War Within. Think about that for a minute. The War Within. Each and every one of us that is here has a war within. It is with your flesh and your spirit. I'm going to prove it to you scripturally. And the outcome of that war is dependent on you. For me individually, that war within, my overcoming, that war within is dependent on me personally. Don't misunderstand me right here. I can preach and I can share and I can direct you the best way I know how as your spiritual leader, as your shepherd. But when the rubber meets the road, you have to walk your walk. You have to fight your battles. I'm going to pray for you. I'm gonna talk with you. I'll counsel you when you need counseling. I'll be a friend when you need a friend. I'll be there. I'll be your pastor, and I'll do my best as a spiritual leader. But when it comes down to winning the battle, the war within, you have got to take the Word of God and apply it to your life. I can't do it for you. I can encourage you. I can challenge you. I can lead you. And in so many ways, I can push you in the right direction. But when you leave here, you're going to deal with that war within. Tomorrow morning, you're going to face a battle. Your flesh is going to want to do things that you should not do. Okay? Do you understand? Now follow me. Years and years ago, I'm going to date myself. Some of you will know this right off, some my age and some a little older. You youngsters that are here will not have a clue what I'm talking about. But there was a comedian, a secular comedian, that came up with this slogan years and years ago. And the slogan was, "The devil made me do it." Do you remember that slogan? Flip Wilson, that comedian, made that slogan. And so I remember as a kid using that slogan thinking it would get me out of trouble. I've got news for you. In the physical and in the spiritual, you can use that slogan, "The devil made me do it," but it don't get you out of trouble. I remember doing things as a kid. And my mother and my dad would say, "Well, you know better than to do that." And I'd say, "But the devil made me do it." Do you think that stopped me from getting a spanking? Not on your life. I got in trouble. And I learned as I grew up, I learned as I got spiritually mature, the devil doesn't make me do anything. I have been given a choice to serve or to walk away. Does that make me sick? But sometimes even as adults, we think, "Well, it's not my fault. It's just because." But you and I need to make a conscious decision here today that I am going to do everything I can to serve God. So how do I do that? I haven't crossed the finish line, so the battle is not over. The war is not over. Let me define this. We are in a war, and in that war, there are many battles. You may face one today. You may face another tomorrow. There is a spiritual conflict within each and every one of us on a regular basis. That's why I called it. That's why I titled the message, "The War Within." So how in the world do we conquer the battle with the war within? Well, the Apostle Paul and many of the apostles have given us God's word, and it's inspired. So I want you to go to Romans. We're going to begin in the book of Romans, and I'm going to kind of preach today. Romans chapter 7. When you're there, say amen. I want you to go down to verse 18. Verse 18. And I'm going to read from verse 18 to verse 25, to the last part of that chapter. It says, listen, this is the Apostle Paul. He's letting you and I know that he is human just like you and I are human. The Apostle Paul is letting us know that I fight the same battle or the same war within as you do. And listen to what he says. He says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh. I'll give you the Greek word of flesh here in a minute, okay? It says, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. He's being honest. He's saying, I've got a battle going on with me. In verse 19, he says, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. He says, now, if I do that I would not, I know this is confusing sometimes in the King James, but bear with me. It says, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. That is really key. The sin that dwelleth in me. You and I are going to find out that we were born with a sin nature. We inherently received that sin nature from our great, 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 you put all the other greats on there, our grandfather Adam. Are you with me? Adam and Eve? Our great, 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 and Lon, grandparents. They were deceived, right? Can we be deceived today? Sure we can. We can be deceived today. We've got doctrines that are not scriptural that can deceive us. The enemy in the very beginning deceived Adam and Eve. He said, oh, is that what God really meant? You know, is that what he really said? And he would say, oh, God knows that if you do what you're told not to do, your eyes will be open and you will become like him. You'll be able to see things you've never seen before and understand things you've never understood before. There was some truth with a whole lot of lie in there, right? And yet they ate of whatever kind of fruit it was, and their eyes were open, and they hid themselves, and they had to go into the dark places. Does God want us to live in the dark places? No, he wants us to live in the light. All right, that wasn't even on my notes, okay? Let me go on. It says, verse 21, it says, I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, talking about my spirit man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. In verse 24, he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? In verse 25, it says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself show the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Who can help me overcome this serious obstacle that I find myself in is kind of what Paul was saying. And he named his name. He said, it is the Lord Jesus Christ who gave himself on the cross. So we can do it, but it takes a made-up mind. And we have to be actively engaged. This war within, every day we've got to be actively engaged in defeating the flesh, the carnal, sinful nature. Follow me. Now let's go to chapter 8. Y'all are preaching right along with me. Keep it up. Chapter 8, I want you to go to verse 8. So Paul continues in chapter 8. He says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. They say, wait, 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 Pastor, how? How in the world can we please God? We got to walk in the flesh. I got to get up every day. Well, I'm getting there. Just hold on. I'm going to get there. We have to learn how to walk in the Spirit. Okay, but there's some things that we have to do to begin and be able to walk in the Spirit on a daily basis. Verse 9, it says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11, it goes on and says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, I want to stop there, and I want you to stay with me. Before we go too much farther, just as Jesus Christ died for our sins and was laid in a grave, and 3 days later, the Spirit of God, with all power and all authority, quickened his fleshly body, and he came back to life, and he rose again. There also has to be a death in us. Now, I'll talk a little bit more about this, but we have to die to the flesh. When we ask Christ to forgive us of our sins and to wash us clean, it says the old man. Are you with me? The old man dies and all things become new. Now there has to be a death. There has to be a death. And then the Holy Ghost will quicken us and help us to live in the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit. Are you following me? Have I lost any of you? There has to be a death. We're going to talk about that more in just a minute. Verse 12 says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. That carnal nature. We're not debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh. In verse 13 it says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that includes daughters as well. But did you hear in verse 13, there's a word that says, it says, but if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body. So what you got to do is you got to understand, what does that word mortify mean? It literally means to crucify the flesh, to put it to death. You and I have a sin nature. We got it from Adam and Eve. We're fleshly. We're human. And that battle within, that's what I'm talking about. That battle where the Spirit and the flesh war against each other. Now, I'm gonna share some things with you here as we go on. But I don't want to get off my notes here. I want to try to stay. That word, the word flesh, in the Greek, is sarx. If I pronounce it right, it's S-A-R-X. It means sin nature. So when you read in the book, especially in the King James, and the Bible talks about the flesh, it's talking about mankind's sin nature. Every one of you have one of them. We all have a sin nature. When we were born into this world, we were born with a sin nature. How many times growing up from the ages of, let's say, 0 and 57? Some of you have to put a different word in there. Every day you and I have to make choices. The flesh wants to war, another passage says, the flesh lusteth after the Spirit. You've been given a spirit. See, this body is going to die one day. Okay, so this body, we're not talking about the body, but we're talking about your flesh, that sin nature that you have. Every day, you and I, it wars against us. When you get up tomorrow morning, if you do not pursue your relationship with Jesus Christ through reading his word, through prayer, through good, wholesome things that you put into your eye gate, your ear gate, and it affects your mouth gate, right? Are you with me? Okay, let's go back to basics. I'm not a computer whiz, but I do know a few things. But I know that when I have a computer, when I buy it brand new, there is, on that hard drive, I can put stuff on there, but it only goes on there what I put on there. You have a hard drive too. Called your brain. Have I lost you? Whatever you put in is what's going to come out. So you and I need to, we need to radically, I want to use that word radical because we need it. We need to radically change our lifestyle, and we need to learn how to radically live in the Spirit, become the men and women that God called us to be. We cannot allow the flesh to rule. Now listen to me, you've heard me say this before, and I'm going to say it again. The part of you that wins, whether it be the flesh, your sin nature, or your spirit, is determined by which one you feed. If you feed your sin nature on fleshly garbage stuff, your flesh will dominate your walk. Example. I've heard people make this comment that I can watch anything on television that I want to watch because I'm mature enough. I, as a spiritual leader, will argue because your sin nature, if you feed it, it will dominate you. If you watch, and the majority of the stuff that is on television today, I didn't say all, I said the majority, which is 99 point whatever percent you would have put on there, is pure garbage. It's pure garbage. On the commercials, they entice you to buy a hamburger with sexual advertisement. They entice you to buy a car with sexual and you know, your flesh loves it because your flesh is carnal and worldly. And if you and I don't if we don't mortify the deeds of the flesh, it will literally run and control our lives. Follow me. Just follow me. The sin nature comes from Adam, and we all have one because Adam sinned through the fall and Eve, and it came upon all. Romans 5:12 says that all have sinned and fell short or have come short of the glory of God. Number two, not only is it we're inherit with it because it's Adam, the second point I want to make is that it's all about self-fulfillment. The flesh wants to make the flesh happy, right? Come on, now, I didn't get one amen. The flesh wants to make the flesh happy. It has self-fulfillment in it. And if you are not careful, whatever the flesh sees, it wants. If it says, I see that and I want it, the flesh will do whatever it takes to get what it wants. I'm telling you. It's the truth. And you and I have to come to a place where we have to war against the flesh. And you and I have got to be man or woman enough to say, no, I am not going to do that. No, I am not going to watch that. No, I am not going to listen to that because it's not spiritually healthy for me. You know, you have to put stuff that's going to build your walk. You're going to have to put stuff in your heart and in your life that's going to build you up spiritually. But if you and I veg on video games and we veg on all the garbage that's out, I'm not telling you everything is bad, but I'm telling you, man, the majority of it is. And then the enemy is looking to slide his theology, and he wants to throw garbage in there. And if you and I are not careful, and if we're not studied up in the Word, and we're not prayed up, we can even be seduced by the ways of the world. Okay, let me move on. So, every one of us have a sin nature. It's inherited. It comes from Adam, from the fall. It's all about self-fulfillment. What I want, when I want it, right now. You and I can all identify that. Now listen, the next thing you need to understand about the flesh, it is rebellious towards the laws of God. It does not want to do what God's law says. It wants to satisfy what it wants. It wants to engage in things that it shouldn't engage in. It has an appetite for the darker side. Am I making any sense? I don't want anybody to misunderstand me. But for you and I, we have to learn to mortify, to crucify the flesh and live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. So it has a rebellious attitude towards God. Fourthly, the flesh lives in deception. Let me give you an example. When, because all of us have been here, when we have told a lie, or when we try to lie, or when we have done something, or let's say our children or our grandchildren, when they do something they're not supposed to do, what's the first thing they do usually? Not me. I didn't do that. Is that not deception? The flesh lives in deception. Not me. Oh, no. It's, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. How many times does the enemy want to deceive us and tell us, oh, that's all right. Grace covers that. Be very careful, because that is a very slippery slope. And a lot of folks use the grace card. Oh, grace covers that. Be very careful, because I'm going to tell you, grace gives you the ability to get back up and confess your sins, because he's faithful and just to forgive us. But grace does not give you and I the liberty to live and indulge in sin. That's where the flesh needs to be killed. Are you following me? Let's move on. The next thing you need to understand, the fifth thing, is that sin, that sin nature, seeks to be first in everything. I don't have time today to go through scripture, example after scriptural example, but the sin nature is all about I. I want this. I want that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. It's all about, all of us have it. We all have to deal with it. I mean, I don't like to be last in line. But you see, being first is not always the best, because the Bible talks about he who's last. Now what I want to quote it. The first shall be last. Sometimes the scripture doesn't make sense. Thank you, Sister Terry, for helping me preach. The scripture sometimes doesn't make sense. I mean, you get to the book of James. Count it all joy when you fall into different or diverse temptations. What? That doesn't make sense. What do you mean, count it all joy? Why? Because God is molding you, and God is shaping you, and God is making you to be the man or the woman that he called you to be. It's to benefit you. That pressure, that external pressure that we have on the outside, is to help us to grow in Christ, not away from Christ. Amen? And so we have to understand that we're born with this sin nature, and it seeks to fulfill its self-fulfillment, and it's rebellious, and it's deceptive, and it's all about me. So now what we got to do is we got to learn, okay, that's one really serious, contentious opponent that I have to deal with, right? But I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You got to catch this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Not in my notes. This is just an add-in, okay? It says, finally, brethren, be strong in yourself. Oh, wait. Are you sure? What version do you have? That's the wrong version, right? It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Zechariah says, it's not by might, it's nor by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Can I get an amen there? So you and I need to understand right out of the gate, we can't do this on our own. We can't fight. We got to do it. We got to fight a spiritual battle with spiritual resource. And God sent the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, to be the paraclete, not the parakeet, the paraclete, the one who comes along beside to help walk us out. But he has to be the one that leads and guides and directs. He is the Spirit of truth. In the midst of all the deception, do we not need the Spirit of truth? Okay, so, the cure. What's the cure? How do we do it? Okay, let's move on. I'm going to read you some more scriptures. Let me go back just a few. I want you to go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And I want you to look at verse 16 and 17 with me. It says, "For this I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would." But verse 18 says, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law." Then it goes on and it tells what the works of the flesh are. I don't have time to go into there. And then if you get down to verse 22, which I ministered a little bit out of last Sunday, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Now listen to verse 24. It says in verse 24, it says, "And they that are Christ," those who've accepted Christ, those who want to follow Christ, "have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust." So the first thing you and I have to do is we have to crucify the flesh. How do we do that? First of all, you say no to the flesh. Second of all, you feed your spirit so the spirit gives you the ability to live above the sins that the flesh wants you to commit. Are you with me? How do we grow? When our children, when they're young, when they're born, when they're first born, they get mama's milk. And they get a lot of mama's milk. And then when they're weaned off of mama's milk, they get... Now, it's probably this powdered junky stuff, but I don't know. Never mind. I mean, have you ever tasted that stuff that they give babies? Don't. I know you're looking at me like, you have? No, not exactly. I mean, never mind. When you fix it, you get a little bit. You guys are too serious, man. You got to laugh a little bit. But what I'm trying to say is, then they get this high-powered milk, and then after they get off the milk, they get on what? They get on things that are more healthy for them, or we should, you know, oatmeal. Brother John, can I get an amen for oatmeal? Now, you will know that if you ever go to breakfast with us on Tuesday mornings, there's multiple times where Brother John, he's the more spiritual one. We're all ordering this greasy, slimy stuff, you know, that slides right down, and he says, "Give me oatmeal." And they're like, "You..." Then the next week, we're all ordering oatmeal. No, but you feed that baby healthy stuff so that baby can get strong muscles, so that baby can grow and be healthy. But not only that, you teach that baby no. Come on now. There should have been a resounding amen. How many of you have told your children when they're growing up, because that sin nature is really prevalent in them, right? And you tell them, "Don't you do that." And 9 times out of 10, the very thing you tell them not to do, they're doing it. It's that sin nature. So what do you have to do? You have to teach them. No. I know people are going to say, "We don't believe in corporal punishment." Well, you know what? If I didn't have corporal punishment when I was growing up, I wouldn't be where I am today. A little spanking, done right, is okay. Now, I know there's parents won't agree with me, and that's okay. You don't have to agree with me. But I just want you to understand there are times you have to use a little correctional motivation in a child's growing years. Am I right? We got to do it. I had to have them. I'm telling you, there were times my dad got onto me even when I was a teenager, and it was like, I didn't like it. The flesh doesn't like it when you tell it no. Matter of fact, that war is going to rage, and that flesh is going to show, "I'll show you," and the battle intensifies. But God says that His word is sharper than any two-edged sword, and He said, "We can do it. We just got to work at it." Okay, let me go on. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8. It says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. If you and I want to cross the finish line, we have got to learn to walk and talk and live in the Spirit. Can I get an amen there? Let me move on. I only have 13 more pages of notes. Just kidding. So we have to learn to walk in the Spirit. There is a cure. There is an antidote. And it goes like this, okay? There's three things that you need to actively do each and every day to walk in the Spirit. That we've already talked about the first one. We have to crucify the flesh. We have to take that old sin nature and put it under our feet. Is it work? Yes, it's work. It's like going on a diet when you really don't want to. Am I on or off? It's like, do you want to go on a diet? No, I want to eat whatever I want to eat because it's good stuff. But there are times when you know you got to go on a diet and you start off real good in the morning, how you eat the oatmeal. And you leave off the brown sugar, but you load it with raisins. You know, because we like the sweet stuff, am I right? You guys just got to walk on this journey. I'm going to land this plane in just a minute. But you understand, no, but you got to tell that flesh, no, well, I'm not going to eat that greasy bacon. I know, y'all are going, Pastor, you need to just shut up right now. You get the point, right? You can't eat bacon on a diet. If you do, it's very little. You got to eat healthy. You need your protein. Scrambled eggs are good. Cheese is good. Pinto beans is good. And some of our kids go, yuck, pinto beans. But they're healthy. Why is it all the healthy stuff tastes so terrible sometimes? I hadn't figured that one out. I'm going to have a talk with God when we get to heaven. So you got to crucify the flesh. You got to tell that old sin nature. You got to put it under your feet. Thirdly, now this is where it's going to take work. After church, starting tomorrow, the next day, you got to learn to cultivate the Word of God in your life. Man, it got real quiet. Give me 1 second. I'm going to turn over to Philippians. Write this down, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Okay, you need to highlight those. Whatsoever things are true, that means truth. Okay? Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, things that are just, things that are lovely, those are the things that we need to be putting in our spirit. We have to cultivate, just like a garden. I know there are some here that are really great at gardening. I am not a gardener. I can maintain a yard and mow grass, but I know that if you're gonna have a garden, you gotta cultivate that garden. You gotta pull the weeds. You gotta till the ground every once in a while. You gotta maintain. You gotta work at it to get the fruit off those vines. Am I on or off? In your spiritual walk, you and I have to cultivate. We got to get the word in. You see, in a good garden, you got to put good stuff in the ground. You got to put fertilizer. You got to put the things that make the soil rich so that fruit and that those plants can survive. Well, it's the same in the spirit. You and I got to cultivate the word of God. We got to get the fertilizer of God's good word inside of our heart so that we can grow and that we can get strong and our leaves will be green. And our fruit will be abundantly. Or am I on or off? You see, we need the fruit of the Spirit. If we're not cultivating the ground, how are we going to get the fruit of the Spirit? Every morning and every night, I believe we need to be in the Word of God. Oh, I know. You say, Pastor, but there are other things that I want to do. And yes, and I want you to be able to enjoy life. But remember, you got to keep your flesh in check. You and I, and if we don't cultivate, if we don't feed our spirit, if we don't nurture the spirit, if we don't walk with the spirit, and if we don't allow him to lead and us to follow, we're out of order. We're out of check. So we gotta crucify the flesh. We gotta learn to walk in the spirit. I want to read out of a book. There's a couple of you that have read this book here, and it's about knowing the Holy Spirit. And I like to read, and I like to learn as much as I can. I believe we should always be learning and always be studying God's Word. But the cure, I want to read just a few paragraphs out of this book, and I just want you to stay with me just for a few minutes. It says, the antidote to being trapped by the sin nature and living out that kind of destructive life is to walk in the Spirit. The cure is walking in the Spirit. So if we don't learn how to walk in the Spirit, we're not going to make heaven our home. Scripture already told us that. And this is what Paul says in Galatians 5:16. We read that. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not gratify. This is the NIV. You shall not gratify the desires of that sinful nature. It says, the only way to keep from falling into the trap of being dominated by the flesh and the sin nature is to walk in the Spirit, which raises a very important question. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? The word walk here is pateo in the Greek language. That means to walk about. So when I get up in the morning, I need to walk about with God's Holy Spirit that he sent here to walk with. Okay? It says it has the idea that the whole of life, every aspect, listen, every area of your life, every moment of your life is under the influence and guidance of the Holy Spirit of God. It means to have one step, ordered by the Holy Spirit. In other words, the decisions one makes. That means if I get to a decision that I'm going to buy a car, should I have the direction of the Holy Spirit in buying an automobile? I'm going to say yes and amen over and over again, because there have been times if I'd have listened to the Holy Spirit or if I'd have listened to my wife, I'd have been in a much better spot. I remember one, we lived in Honolulu, we lived in Aiea, Hawaii one time as a youth pastor. And I wanted to be the man. I wanted to make the decisions. I wanted to be in charge. Not my dad, not anybody else. I wanted to be the man. And so I thought I had done all the work and the research, and come to find out I bought a lemon. And I wish I would have listened. I paid for that lemon more than once. And then all of a sudden, if I'd listened to the Spirit, or my wife, again, I'm going to tell you, man, them wives are important. They have wisdom that sometimes us guys don't have. And so I'm putting a plug in for our wives here today. Ladies, you should say amen. Man, you better say amen, too. And then I got this beater. It was a, I don't remember what year it was. It was a Mazda. It was like blue and rusted with purple windows, purple tinted windows, and it was a rust bucket. But you know what? It had an air conditioner, and it ran great. I never had one issue with that car. And if I'd have listened and not gotten in a hurry, I might not went to all the difficulties. How many times in our life, if we'd have listened to the Holy Spirit say no, would it have allowed us not to get ourselves in the predicament that we got into? You got to listen. And sometimes the problem with me, and I'm sure with you as well, because we're human, is I'm too busy talking, and I need to be actively listening. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do this? And if I listen to the Spirit,